welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. So the message today is called Dying to Live, and we're going to talk about suffering and dying, and I would just like you to repeat after me, boy, I'm glad I came to church today. I didn't hear you say that after me. But there is good news, because we know what happened when Jesus suffered and died. He resurrected. So there's always a resurrection after suffering and dying. There's a living that happens. And we focus a lot, obviously, on Easter, you know, on the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. So I'm just going to kind of relay that foundation a little bit and then get into some practical application of this. But, you know, when we think about Jesus dying, obviously, what he won for us, the life that we have through him and in him, wasn't whimsically won. It wasn't Jesus and God up there going, oh my gosh, you know, it'd be a great idea. It'd be a great idea for me to go down there and just be one of them, you know? And God's like, yeah, do it, Jesus. I mean, Jesus was the lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. There was no whimsy in it or California girl in it. It was a decision that he made from the beginning of time for us because of the desire he had in his heart and has in his heart towards us. So everything that we enjoy as believers, we enjoy because of the cost, the price that Jesus paid, the incredible sacrifice that he made and paid for us, and everything that he provides for us, salvation, transformation, right standing or righteousness, healing, peace, strength, joy, wisdom, hope, etc. All those things came at a very high cost that we get to enjoy because of what he did. But again, it didn't end with suffering and dying. It resulted in his resurrection. And we're called to follow the example of Jesus Christ. He lived, we live. He suffered, we suffer. He died, we die. He rose from the dead, and we rise from the dead. So let's just pray this morning. Holy Spirit, we just give you free reign and utterance in this place. We pray that Jesus would be glorified, that as you're lifted up, Lord, that you would draw all of us to you. Be lifted up, be exalted, be magnified, Lord Jesus. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come into this room and give us fresh insight into old truths. We thank you that you are constantly taking us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just talk about Jesus. He lived. His example is our blueprint. Imagine coming from where Jesus came from. He came from a place of glory where he was known, he was adored, he was seen as he truly was. And then he subjected himself to the human condition. The other night when we were having prayer and worship, we were singing a song, but the line in there was, Son of God and Son of Man. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And it was like, I was just flooded with a revelation that he really was one of us. He was one of us. He experienced life as we experience life. And I don't know why, but my mind was just blown again. Like, I could have told you that many, many years ago, that truth. I could have rehearsed it to you. But thank God for glory to glory revelation we live in with him. He reveals fresh things to us. But the fact that he was one of us is amazing to me. He came from the glory where he's surrounded by awesomeness. And he was like, not only did he just come from that place, he came in tiny baby form. He didn't come as a full-grown man. He like came as the most vulnerable, in the most vulnerable position, and subjected himself to everything. He lived perfectly as one of us, facing every opportunity that the world, the flesh, and the devil has to offer us. He faced everything. Anything you faced, Jesus has faced, because he was one of us. And this helps us to understand that he understands us and that he willingly did it to prove to us that he's in it all the way, and he went all the way. He's committed to you and me. He suffered. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with every grief that we're acquainted with. Can you imagine him coming from heavenly splendor to submitting himself to earthly parents and to the world system of the government that he was born into? But he did. He submitted himself. He humbled himself. He lived through and overcame all temptations. There was a girl I knew a long time ago, and we were talking about Jesus being tempted, and she was like, Jesus was never tempted. He was God. And I'm like, whoa. No, because do you know what it means that he was actually tempted? It means that he truly was human, and he truly came in contact with what we deal with all the time. And that is what makes him our Savior, is that he went through the things that we go through. But the difference was he did it without sin. He was tempted. So he was tempted with being deceitful, right? There was opportunities for him to lie. But he had no pride. He gave in to no sexual temptation. That's hard to imagine, putting God into that realm. Was Jesus tempted that way? The Bible says at all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he wasn't power hungry, he could have been, not vengeful. He wasn't tricky. He didn't use trickery. No white lies, no hate, no jealousy. Jesus never abused his authority. He was the lamb that was led. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth to defend himself when he was being unjustly accused and persecuted. Have you guys ever seen the show Alone, where they drop off people, their contestants, to win a big sum of money, and they drop them off into the wilderness, and the last man standing wins the money? Basically, well, these people just go in with their backpack and the gear that they chose to work with, and they have survival skills, but they face wet conditions where they can't build a fire. It's so fascinating to me, and it's fun to watch, but they go through like drought where they can't find fresh water. They can't build a fire because it's too wet. There's like mountain lions and bear and other kinds of devouring carnivores. But I've seen people get emaciated because they're just hanging on trying to win the money, and they have to, you know, end up leaving. But they all get the same opportunity, and they all get this device that has a button on it. And that button can be pressed at any point in the competition, and then a helicopter or a boat will come in and gather them, and they're out of the game. But can you imagine at the point of like their severe suffering and trials and exhaustion, they know that they're just a button away from having a completely different reality. And what psychological warfare you'd have to deal with, just being like, I'm so thirsty, I could just press this button, but no, there's $500,000, there's $1 million at the end of this. Well, Jesus, having access to all he had authority over all the angels, over all the powers, the winds and the waves, over sickness and disease. And he endured everything. And he had a big button provided. He could have gotten out at any time and started experiencing a totally different reality. But he didn't. He actually died before he died on the cross. He died to himself first. He died to the pulls and the pushes of the flesh. He died to the fear of man. He died to disappointment and frustration. He had disciples around him that he was trying to get them to see things, and they were thick sometimes, as we are sometimes. And then he had one among them that was going to betray him. And he died to all the expectations that we put on human friendship and family. And he said, no, I'm going to continue on, because the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and all the suffering. And I just want us to kind of relive these moments through the reality of what Jesus did. I want us to understand afresh and to meditate on this, because it was a huge, huge sacrifice for him. But he made himself of no reputation. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh. And, you know, Pastor Ed talks about this a lot, but, you know, I think it's in Romans 8 where our body is what contains the pulls of sin. Nobody gets a get-out-of-body-free card on this earth. If we're here, we have a body, and we deal with sin. We deal with the pulls, Christian and non-Christian. We all deal with it. And Jesus died to all of that. Everything that we have a reality of today, he died to it. So he died. He came down from glory. He lived among his own creation. He chose a disciple that would ultimately betray him. He did all this willingly. And then he physically died. He was brutally tortured and totally publicly humiliated. And at the end, one of his last things that he said was, Father, forgive them, as the soldiers are taunting him. Forgive them. Have mercy on them, because they don't know what they're doing. I mean, in his suffering, he was still dying to himself. He was dying to his rights. He was dying to justified, you know, anger. This isn't just. He was dying to the injustice of all of it. That's amazing to me. And then he rose from the dead. God's Spirit called him out of that grave. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And the only reason his body, sinful nature, sinful body, could be raised from the dead was because he overcame the pulls of the flesh. So he had a right to be raised because he lived perfectly. That body came back, and it could do things now that his body didn't do before, what our bodies can't do right now. He could appear and disappear. He could become incognito. People didn't recognize him right away, and then all of a sudden their eyes were opened. He could still eat, but he could disappear at will. And, you know, he overcame things, and so that resurrection power gave him a new kind of life. When Jesus died and rose, this is how he condemned sin in the flesh. He conquered its desires while he lived by being the holy sacrifice we could never be. And this is why his Spirit could legally raise him up. Him rising from the dead is how we can rise with him. And baptism, if you've never been baptized and you belong to Christ, I just want to encourage you to do it. It's a public declaration of an inward change and decision for Jesus. It symbolizes dying to self, like Jesus died, and then rising with Christ, rising to the new creature. And it symbolizes the water being washed by the blood of Jesus and then transformed by the washing of the water of the Word, as we see in Ephesians 5:26. So I did give some scriptures. I'm not as high tech as some other speakers like Carla. because I don't necessarily want to be super committed to my notes, but I don't know. So I don't give them a lot ahead of time. But Romans 8, 10 through 11, if we can get that on screen. Yeah, thanks. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because we die to sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Would you guys mind, could we just read that together out loud? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Just like life was given to Jesus' mortal body, as believers, when we're raised with Christ, he gives us life to our mortal bodies. So that means we now have the ability to do what Jesus did, to obey the Father in such a way that we're no longer bound to the pulls and the pushes of our flesh. We don't have to react as regular human beings because we're not regular human beings anymore. It is him who lives in us, who was raised from the dead, and he helps us to occupy our vessel, command our vessel while we're here on the earth, to live as he lived when he was on the earth. He gives us the power. We can't do that on our own, but it's the resurrection power of Jesus that allows us to live this way. Another scripture is 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the Father, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's really the focus of the rest of this message, is the living hope we have. We're going to die in order to live. There cannot be a resurrection without a death. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we're giving a big yes to him, but we're also giving a big no to ourselves. In other words, not our true selves, but our mortal bodies. We're giving a no to our bodies, but a big yes to Christ. So we're born into these fallen bodies in need of Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we're saved, but our bodies still die. We shed these bodies and are free from its pulls to go live with the Lord. The big picture is that we will die because our body is decaying. And the big picture is that when we die, if we're in Christ, we will be with him. We will be with the Lord. But a living hope for us right now is we can die to the sinful desires of our mortal body and be free from its pulls and live to Christ. We live in dueling citizenship. Dual citizenship. We're in the body, but we possess a citizenship of heaven. And we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. So let's just talk about some practical ways we live, we die, and we resurrect. I know this isn't the most exciting message, but there are some really deep truths here. And we aren't just called to be Christians and get saved and escape hell. That is not the only thing that believing in Jesus provides us. It's a huge, amazing, wonderful thing. So that's really good. But there is a living hope that we have, that we can overcome as he overcame. Because he overcame, we can overcome. Holy Spirit, just breathe this truth into our hearts, because the world needs to see us living triumphantly. The world needs to see us living more than just in constant wrestling with our flesh. They need to see us living life according to the Spirit. There's so much more that Jesus provided for us than what we're living many times. I'm preaching to myself. And it's not a condemnation. There is a hope. There is a joy. It's for the joy that's set before us that we endure suffering to our flesh right now. That's the message today. There is a joy, a greater joy than immediate gratification of giving in and being angry and gossipy and lying and having hatred in our hearts and judgment and living like this instead of like this. You know, this is wrestling with our flesh all the time. And we do. We wrestle with that. It's fine. But there is a greater truth to overcome. We have been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that same Spirit that dwells in us, and it quickens our mortal body. It's a living hope. Jesus said that he says and does what he only sees the Father saying and doing. Sees and hears what the Father is saying and doing. He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There were so many commandments. He said, this sums up all that's in the law of Moses and all that's in the prophets. It's summed up in these two commands right here. Do you know that sounds so simple? But do you realize how much dying there is in those two scriptures? And that's not to put a heavy, it's just to say, let's think it through. There is so much encapsulated in those commands to love him first with all of our heart, with everything that's in us, and with all of our mind. In other words, the things that we even think of, we're to love him with, to show our love. But we're not meant to do it on our own because we can't. He gives us the Holy Spirit and empowers us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then, this is really hard sometimes, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. However, it's hard if you try it in your flesh. But when you do it according to the Spirit, there is empowerment to live victoriously, to love the way that Christ tells us to love. Do you know, Jesus said, well, everything that he did was willing. He understood what he was doing. He understood the cost. And do you know that nobody made him do it? And he said, nobody takes my life from me. I give it. And that's what makes him so beautiful and wonderful. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As a believer, to live is to live unto Christ. But then we do have the hope of eternity, dying, getting out of these bodies. There is such a great hope. And my daughter thinks I'm a little too excited to die. I don't want to die before my time. That's not what I'm saying. But I eagerly look forward to being with the Lord in that dimension. But I also eagerly, willingly want to die to myself while I live on this earth, because I want Christ to live through me, the hope of glory, the hope of the world. And I have not attained, I know this, none of us will until that day when we see him face to face, when we see him, we'll be like him. But I want my life to mimic Jesus because I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And the more we concentrate on everything that he did for us, the more that love grows. It's fostered. It grows. The more you behold him, the more you become like him. And the other thing is, too, is that when we do live life according to the Spirit of God that is in us, there are rewards that we reap here on the earth, but there are rewards that are being stored for us in heaven as well. He doesn't just tell us to do something hard. He tells us to die to something, but it's to live to something. It isn't just death and mourning and burial. There can be some mourning when you die to yourself, because sometimes we live in a way that we really enjoy, and it's comfortable, and it goes with the flow sometimes. We're not making a big fuss. We're not swimming upstream. That can be a way to live and not challenge yourself and not respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But that isn't how we're called to live, because we have strength to live a different way. We have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We give God our big yes, and then the practical ways that we live unto him is we continue to say yes. Jody, I want you to not gossip. I want you to speak life. Yes, Lord. I can die to that. I can die to that false sense of intimacy with someone else by talking about someone else. I'm going to die to that. I don't want it. I choose the life of Christ. And then he empowers you to do it, though. He does. It isn't you just trying to make it on your own. It isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's I can because he lives in me. Because Christ resurrected, I will live a resurrected life. There's a scripture, I should have looked it up, but anyway, Jesus receiving the reward of his suffering. Think about that line. Jesus receiving the reward of his suffering. Ultimately, in the big picture, it's talking about souls. He suffered because we were his reward. He lived and he subjected himself to all things because we were his reward. But then there's another level of reward. It's that they would be like me, that we would follow in his footsteps, that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we would operate in such a way that men would see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. But we're empowered to do it, batteries included. Living by the dictates of the Spirit produces these living rewards, life and peace. Living by the righteousness of Jesus provides fruit that remains in our life. Long after we're gone, we can have fruit still growing on this earth, remaining, because of the life we chose to live, because of the life we chose to die to. Living to the flesh produces death. Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Woo. And now I'm just going to hunker down and read a bunch of scriptures to you. So I know this isn't a hooting and a hollering message, but let it be. Let it speak. Let the deep call the deep this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 11. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, our living body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's a whole new way of living. It's new creature living. Alive to Christ, dead to self. John 12, 24 through 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. 1 Peter 4, and I'm going to say 1 through 2. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh because of the same mind, be of the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I'm just going to say that one more time. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, believers, be of the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I mean, the goal of living isn't just about ceasing from sin. It's just about being like Jesus. And it's about taking advantage of everything he's given to us. So the person who has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Colossians 3:3-4. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 1:21 again. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Romans 8:12-18, effectively. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the desires of the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Like true life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, in other words, if we're following, if we're led, these are the sons of God, the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. If indeed we suffer with him, that's our suffering to the flesh, that we may also be glorified together. And then 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the present suffering has a carrot at the end of the line. He's dangling a carrot in front of us. It says that, yes, they're suffering now. But what you're suffering now, if you think that's bad, you have no idea how good the glory is at the other side. But there's also a living reward and a living hope. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, yet Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And really, that's the sum of the message today. He does call us to follow his example. And so, however the Holy Spirit is ministering that to you today is between you and him. But we are to receive the righteousness of Christ, not just to get into heaven, but to live, to bring heaven to earth. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there will be a fight, but Jesus said, don't lose heart because I've overcome the world. And that's encouraging to us because he's not just saying, don't worry about it, I won. He's like, through you, I continue to win and overcome the world. The same way that I have overcome, you will overcome. It isn't without some doing, though, and surrender and dying. And Paul said, I die daily. We're crucified with Christ daily. We have to put to death the deeds of the body, of the flesh. But it's for a greater purpose of living and resurrecting. And that's what Christ has for us and what he's provided. So thank you, Lord, for bearing witness with this word and with the word that we read, the scriptures that we read. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bearing witness in our hearts that our position with you is secure. When we're in Christ, the old has passed away and all things become new. And that's joy, that's peace, that's life in the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask you right now, if there's places in our hearts that you're convicting, we just pray for the grace to respond and to give you our big yes, but to give you our everyday little yeses that formulate a life of Christ that proves that we are your children. I thank you for the hope and the joy that's attached to all these things and the promises of God that are yes and amen to all who believe. Thank you for grace. In Jesus' name, amen.